Well, like everybody said, you may be seated. Like it's been said already, this is back to school Sunday. When I started the church, 1985, October of 1985, I said that we were going to have a good children's program, a good youth program, and a good music program. And back in that day, and I think they still do it too, churches were paying their musicians and their singers to come in and do the service. I said, I'm not going to pay anybody. I said, if somebody can't use their talent for 30 minutes or for the Lord, then something's the matter. And we don't pay any of our musicians. It's all volunteer. They do a great job, don't you think? And you know where a lot of your adult frontline singers come from? They come through the youth programs. A lot of the musicians do. I know Dallas Duco, he's with the Crusade team with me right now. He plays drum, but he came through the youth. Thank God we got, she plays the keyboard. Christy Lazinski, who used to be Redmond, she came through the youth program. Hey, we've got a great program for our children and youth. They came through. How many of you are adults now in this congregation and you came through the children and youth or the youth program in this church? Let me see your hand. All of you stand up. If you're in the church, stand up, please. Hallelujah. Thank God for all of these. Amen. We thank God for that. A lot of them are gone out and into the ministry, and they're out somewhere else ministering. And so I think it's exciting when we get to see some of these programs and what they're doing. I got a feeling that DK can preach. Anybody get that feeling? And if you've seen some of the videos that for announcements that him, DK, and Chris do, it's really good. We have good people in charge of your kids and your youth. And this is a very special service just for the youth and the children going back to school. And that's who I'm going to talk to this morning. But if you will listen as an adult to what I say, you can apply this to your life too. But I'm talking to my youth. Where's all my youth and children at? All my youth, JV, all of the school kids and all of y'all, stand up. Youth, children, all of you. From kindergarten all the way up to 12th grade, stand up. These are our kids. Thank you, guys. You can be seated. You know, many of these that are standing, I dedicated on this platform. And if you'll remember, when I do the dedication service, I read to you as the church that we have a responsibility to these kids. How many of y'all remember we do that every time? That we have that responsibility to help the parents to raise their kids. So, you know, some of you are already back in school. Some of you will be starting this coming week. You know, as you go to school, some of you go into new classrooms. Some of you may be even having to change from elementary to the junior high schools, I call them. I don't know what they call them now, the middle school or something. Or sometimes they just have a ninth grade center. They got so many ninth graders. But you may be going into a new building, and or a new location, new friends, new teachers. This is a time for change, and you're going to experience new things. But let me tell you, You need to learn how to work with this, because the rest of your life, you're going to be, there's going to be change and there's going to be new experiences that you face all the time. This in school, this helps you to learn, prepare for life. Some people will know, well, why do I have to go to school? Well, and one of the things is that it helps you prepare for life. So I want you to remember this one thing the pastor's saying to you this morning. I don't care if you're going to new classrooms. I don't care if you're going to a new building. I don't care if you got to go to new teachers, new friends. I want you to remember that. Don't worry. You can make it. I want you to say that. Don't worry. I can make it. School, like I said, is a place to learn. You face new challenges, like I've said. You end up doing things you've never done before. But don't worry. God is always there with you. And God wants you to be successful, and He wants you to make it. Now, you have to decide yourself whether you're going to have a good school year or it's going to be a bad one. It's up to you. It's your attitude. You make a decision ahead of time. I always made a decision ahead of time. Nothing's going to stop me. I remember we were going, back then we called it junior high school, and you went to the junior high school at 7th, 8th, and 9th grade was junior high school back when I went to school. And all the guys, they were saying, well, we got to go up there, and they're going to be 8th graders, and they're going to be 9th graders, and we're just 7th graders. And they all grabbed me. I said, what are you guys worried about? Quit worrying and quit being upset. We just go be you. You can make it. I've always been that way. I just do anything that I go to do. I don't care if I've never been there, never done it before. I make up my mind ahead of time before I get there that nothing's going to keep me from doing it. I remember when we went in the Army, we rode a whole busload of us, you know, one of them Greyhound buses from Dallas, Texas, right up here to Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, right up here on the other side of Springfield, about halfway between Springfield and St. Louis is Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. And that's where I went to basic. And on the way up there, the guy's talking about, oh, it's going to be hard, basic training. They've told me what they're doing. I looked at them guys and I said, I'm going to tell y'all guys something. You either make up your mind right now. I said, there's no sergeant going to break me. I can accomplish and I can do anything they want me to do, and I will accomplish. Now, I was 23 when I went in. Most of those kids I went in with were 17, 18, 19-year-olds. And I'll tell you something funny. I made up my mind, I can do it. I quit worrying about it and made up my mind, I can make it. Well, we had to run the mile in our combat boots, fatigue pants, and T-shirts. And I think we had to... You're supposed to run it within under 6 minutes. 6 minutes or under. Well, we all took off. I've been an old track man. I saw this kid take off. I said, I'm going to go up there and run with him. I got up there. I'd stayed about 6-8 yards behind him. And we come around the first lap and second lap. And then he started putting a little speed on. And I'd speed it up, stayed. And I finished about 10 yards behind him. Me and him were pretty much far in front of everybody else. And as we crossed the finish line, he turned around and looked at me. He said, oh, man, I tried to lose you and I couldn't. He said, this is October now. He said, I just graduated in May from high school, and I was the Missouri State High School Champion Miler. And I couldn't lose you, you old man. I said, you don't know who you're dealing with. I made up my mind, I can't be defeated and I won't quit. But you see, you got to make up your mind you're going to do it right now. This is going to be a good school year. Just say it to yourself. This is going to be a great school year for me. You kids, all of you. You see, It's a new year, but get excited about a new year because there's new possibilities. There's new opportunities to expand your life and to learn. You know, today you make the decision that you are not going to worry, but you're going to make it because you believe what God said. He said that you can make it. You know, school is important because it prepares you for your career that you'll have in life. It's part of God's plan for your life. Listen to what God said a long time ago. Now listen at this carefully, because God is still saying the same thing to you today as he did back then to the children of Israel. Jeremiah 29:11 from the Message Bible. I know what I'm doing. Hey, God knows what he's doing, okay? I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you a future you hope for. That's what God is saying to every one of you students right now. Hey, you may know what you want to do in life. You may not know what you want to do in life, but God will show you how to accomplish that plan that you have. He will help you to have much greater plans and much better plans than you could ever think of. You think you have to wait till you're older for God to work in your life? I don't think so. Look at this. Joseph was a teenager when God gave him dreams about his future. Samuel was a young boy when God began to speak to him about being a prophet. David was a teenager when he was anointed to be the king of Israel. He was a teenager when he went up against the Goliath, the giant, and killed him. Jesus was just a boy of 12 when he sat and talked with the rabbis. See, you don't have to wait till you're older. You can begin to listen to God and follow God right now as a young person. Some people think, well, I have to wait until I'm older. No, God speaks to young people. In fact, most people, most ministers that are called into the ministry, they first felt that call. Most of them first felt that call as a child and then in the youth camps. I know I felt it back when I was about 12 years old, 9 or 10, 12 years old, something like that. Right, I got gotten the Holy Spirit, and I felt like God won't be a minister. And I didn't do anything about it because I didn't want to be. But when I was 17 at a youth camp, I dedicated myself to that call, and I've done it ever since. God will speak to you as a young person. You don't have to go telling everybody. All you have to do is just follow him and prepare yourself. There are things that he will help you do. He'll help you to become a teacher, a lawyer, a doctor, a mechanic, a nurse, a builder, architect, whatever you feel like it is that you want to do, he will help you become that. He will call some of you maybe to the ministry. As I go on with this, let me give you three steps that I think that will help you make this a great year, but it will help you to have a great life. Number one, stay connected to God and church. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You see, God never leaves. It's you that walks away. It's you that walks away from him. God is there all the time to help you. If you'll ask him, he'll help you to learn. If you'll study, and then go to for the test and ask him to help you, he'll bring things to your remembrance. But he can't bring, if you hadn't, it's you're like a computer. If you haven't put it up here, he can't bring it out. Some people go, oh, they haven't even studied. They go ask the Lord, you know, Lord, help me on this test. Well, it would be, he would have to give you supernatural, a supernatural thing because you hadn't studied it. If you'll study, he'll help you. When it gets hard, if you'll ask him, he'll help you. He promised to work with you. God is there with you in the bad times, in the good times, and every time in between. God is always there. He's always there to help you. It's important that you stay connected to church. This is a safe place. Your youth services are a safe place. It's a place where you find help from your pastors, the leaders, your friends. You'll find people that at church that will believe in you. It doesn't matter what you're going through. The church is always there to help you. The leaders are always there to help you. They're not there to condemn. We are not here to condemn. We are here to help. You're surrounded by people that want to help you, so come. So many times when people start having trouble, even kids and teenagers, they go away from God and the church and their Christian friends that can help them because they feel, well, they're going to condemn me. They feel, hey, nobody's going to condemn you. We're here to help you. We are here to help you. It doesn't matter. Stay connected. Now say this with me. If God is with me, all the time, I can make it. As I stay connected to him and connected to my church. And number two, stay connected to your family and your parents. Now I know you sometimes wonder if your parents know anything and if they even know what they're talking about. And when you hear them, you're tempted to shut them out, but all they're trying to do is help you. You got to realize, hey, they were once a teenager too. They were once a 9-year-old too. And sometimes they are saying and correcting you because they see you making the same mistakes that they made that got them in trouble, and they're trying to help you out so you don't have to go there. Hello? See, hey, think a little bit. Parents are not wanting to be hard, just to be hard, just to be mean. Parents are wanting to help you. Grandparents are wanting to help you. You know, they're there for you. Now, on the other hand, parents, make sure you take time for your kids. You know, there was a survey that was just conducted, and it says a new survey calculated that Americans are enjoying just 37 minutes of quality time as a family on the 5 weekdays. Boy, you got quiet on that one. Do you realize how many hours there are in the 5 days? There's 24 hours in a day, right? So 5 times 24 is what? Somebody, come on, mathematicians, give me an answer. What? 120 hours. In those 5 days of the week, and only 37 minutes of it is spent as quality family time. Man, That's not good. Come on. The reason that you're not having good quality family time, you're on the television or the computer, parents, kids are on the computer or on their phone. One of the worst inventions they've ever had is that smartphone, and it's also one of the best inventions that we've ever had. I'm hearing of a lot of families that when they sit down for family dinner, everybody puts their phone in the middle of the table and nobody touches it, puts it on silent and nobody touches it. Miss Lynette had a department head meeting here a while back, and she made everybody put their phones in a basket, and they didn't know what to do if they didn't have their phone. So she made everybody put their phone in a basket. You know, many of you have got your phone right now, and as I'm speaking, all of a sudden you started looking at something, and you're more interested in what's on that phone than what I'm saying. That's what happens. I mean, I know as a family, we all go out. I know we was out to here a while back with the five grandsons and me and Lynette. And I looked up and all of us, including me and Lynette, we all had our phone out. Minutes of quality time as a family. Make time for family time. When Craig and Denise were growing up, our supper meal was family time. And we read the faith food confessions every morning before they went to school. But when we would sit down there for the evening meal, that's when we read the Bible. Then we'd eat and then we'd read the Bible. And I know that my kids read the Bible through at least five times because I read it with them. We read it together. We got that 1 year Bible. And five different times, we read it first in the King James, I think. And then we'd get another translation and read it. But that was our time. And also, that was a time that anybody could talk about anything they wanted to and discuss anything they wanted to. It was family time. Make family time. Parents, make it a priority to attend the kids' activities at school. I don't care if it costs you something. It is important. I made time. I remember one time, and I went out for the preaching for the weekend, and Denise had some kind of, and I flew back in and got her some flowers, and she had some kind of a ballet deal, and she was so excited because I made an effort, flew an all-night plane. You can't do it now, but I flew all night to get back. Why? Because it was important that Dad be there. I coached and taught in Bible school and did it all. I coached all sports. Also, Lynette was involved in the school, and she was even 1 year PTA president. Why? Because I wanted to be involved with my kids. If I'm there where their sporting events are, if we're involved in the school, we at least have a little bit of input. And you know what? My house, our house was always open. When I was a teenager, if other people, friends of mine, it's my church friends as well as my non-church friends from school, if they want to know where their kids are, they call a Hagen house because they're either at the Hagen house or Miss Hagen would know where everybody is because we always told her. But our house was open, and we did that with our kids. We had when Craig and Denise were teenagers, we had kids hanging around all the time. Hey, I kept stuff in when they were younger and elementary. We kept frozen popsicles, make Kool-Aid and freeze popsicles. We had them in there and stuff. And then when they got to be teenagers, I always had stuff there, snacks and stuff for them. Why? If I got them at my house, I can control the atmosphere. I can control what they do and what they listen to. Hey, somebody said, well, they dirty the house. So what? What is that compared to making a real input into their life? I know I used to let them, the cheerleader Denise, she was cheerleading in seventh grade. They won the city championship. I don't know if they still have those cheer offs between all the schools or not, but they won the city championship. But I let the girls ride all over my van, and I let them hang out the windows and yell and scream. Everybody always wanted to go with Mr. Hagen because I let them scream and yell, and other parents wouldn't. But I always played Christian music, and I never will forget. We were driving one time, and so as many girls as could got into my, I had a Jeep Cherokee at that time, and they, as many girls as they could piled in that thing. And so I remember all of a sudden I heard one of them say, Denise, that's Christian music. Denise said, yeah, that's what I listen to. I don't know, I think it was Michael W. Smith or somebody. I think it was a song called People in a Box or something. I don't know, you know, because she had all those songs. All those Amy Grant and Michael W. Smith and I don't know who else she had. That was the big people back in them days. And they said, that's Christian music, Denise. She said, yeah. And so the girls then, they got those CDs. They started listening to that Christian music because we playing it in our car. We're playing it. Hey, be an influence. You don't have to preach to them to be an influence. Come on now. I could go a long time on that. Hey, believe in your parents, grandparents, everybody. Believe in your kids. Encourage them. I try to encourage my grandboys all the time. Sometimes I just pick up my phone and I write to each one of them personally and say, Poppy loves you. I'm proud of you. I do it all the time. There's such two of them, they'll tell you that I do it. And I tell them, I call them, I tell them that. Hey, I tell them they can be whatever they want to be with them and God. I told my kids that all the time. I always put Craig and Denise to bed every night when I was there. And I told them every night that I prayed with them, put them to bed, I told them, you can be with you and God. You can be whatever you want to be. I took them to school, and not one time did they ever hear me say, you better be good today. You better make a good grade. The last thing they heard out of my mouth was, Jesus loves you. I love you. Have a great day. It's important your words carry more than they're filled with either love or hate, doubt, unbelief. Words are buckets. You carry stuff in them. I would hear some parents say, you better be good today and you better make a good grade. I heard one parent say that. That's horrible. If you want to read something about words, go get that little book, Signposts by E.W. Kenyon, by Signposts on the Road to Success. He got some good stuff in there about that. That's where I got some of that. Hey, you need to realize that you have a responsibility. Amen. Parents, you have a responsibility spiritually and naturally. Amen. All right, number three. Stay connected to your friends and teachers. You know, when you through life in school, you got a lot of people that are trying to tell you what to do and tell you things. You need to learn to listen to the right people. Teachers are there to help you. You might not think so because they can be hard. I tell you what, school's a whole lot different now. When I went to school, all the teachers were old, looked like they come out of Noah's Ark. They were so old. Nowadays, I go to school, I see teachers at school, and they look like teenagers to me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I remember my teachers. I remember Miss Fowler. Miss Fowler, she was a first grade teacher. Miss Granberry, my second grade teacher. Miss Ice, my third grade teacher. Miss Roach, my fourth grade teacher. Miss Glenn, my sixth grade teacher. All of them in elementary, I still remember all of them. Why? Because I listened to them, I talked with them, and I listened to what they had to say, and they made an impact on my life. Miss Fowler made an impact on my life. I remember it. I can see it in my mind today. As on the blackboard, one time somebody said, "I can't." And she wrote in big letters, "Never say I can't. Always say I can." On big letters. That was a blackboard with white chalk. It wasn't these grease boards like they got today. I still remember that. And then when I got into junior high school, I got met dear Coach Brank, Coach Finley, Miss Cope, Miss Petway, English teachers, Mr. Teeman, High Pockets, we called him. Mr. Evans, my PE teacher, we call him Baldy Evans. And he had me for 3 years in PE class. And he every year he would say, "Kenneth Higgins." I said, "No, it's Hagen." Okay. He never did get it right. He called me everything from Higgins to Hagens and something else, I guess. I'll just be quiet right there. Teachers, if you will listen, they will give you something that will impact you. Now, I realize today they change classes, but back when I was there, we had the same teacher for everything all day long. That's changed today. But learn from your teachers. Choose your friends carefully. If possible, be friends with your church buddies. But if otherwise, choose friends that are godly and that go to church, because you're going to have a bunch of them trying to get you to do other things. Choose your friends who believe in God and doing right no matter what. You know, friends are great people to have. You hear me talk about Chunky Mooney that lived next door to me. He was a very good friend. I had the privilege of going to his funeral. In fact, we went to Dallas for something, and Lynette and I asked, as we was down there on the weekend, this is before the church even started, I guess, wasn't it, hon? I can't remember. And I said, "You know, I hadn't seen Chunk in a long time. I'm going to call him." I called him up. I said, "Let's go to the Devil Bowl racing." He said, "Yeah." And so we went. And we got back together. It's just like we never have been apart. It's been several years since we'd seen one up. I was so glad I did that, because that's the last time I got to be with him, because he had a heart attack and went home. Thomas Chambers, from my church. Charles Killian. I can name a whole bunch more of them. But I hung with people that I knew that were that lived right and wanted to do right. You're going to have to choose your friends. It's up to you. God will help you stand. With godly friends, you'll make it. But the Bible says those that are ungodly will corrupt you too if you hang around too long. That's what the Bible says. Now I paraphrase it in this language. So, hey, remember, you can make it. There's no need to be afraid. You can make it if you follow these three steps. Let's go back through those three steps. I want you to get it, don't you? I want us all to get them. All right, number one, stay connected to what? God and the church. Number two, stay connected to your family and parents. Number three, stay connected with your friends and your teachers. Now, everybody stand. Say this with me. There is no use to be afraid of this school year. With God, my family, and my church, and my friend, my godly friends, I can make it. I don't have to worry. I can make it. All right, I want all of the students, kindergarten through 12th grade, I want you all to come down here. We're going to pray. The church is going to pray over you. Just come on down to the front. Come right against by the rock here, guys. There you go. Yeah, you saw me at the races, yeah. Oh, how many went to the races on Friday night? How many of you had a good time? I think Cameron might have won it if they hadn't have put him to the back. He wasn't even in the wreck. The promoter tried to tell him, hey, he stopped it, but they'd put him back anyway. But he did. He made a fine drive coming back. He drove good. Oh, look at this. I got kids coming from the balcony, so I'm going to wait till they get here. All right. That's a good... This is your kids right here. Look at these guys. We got more coming down. We got a whole bunch coming down from the balcony. Got to wait till they all get here. That's a good looking bunch. All right. Bring them in on the side here, right here. Bring them right in here. Fill in right in here. Yeah, there you go. Fill in right on this side. That's good. That's good. Yeah, y'all doing good. Fill right in on there. You're short. Step up on that one step. There you go. Good. Just fill in right in there. That's all right. You don't have to come all the way around. Just fill right in there. We'll get them all filled in here. They got to go back up that way in a minute anyway. So just let them stay on this side. Man, look at all of them that was upstairs. Wow. Now, I know we have several teachers in the congregation, so now I want you that are teachers in public school. I want high school, elementary, junior high. I want y'all to come down and stand behind these kids. If you're a teacher, I know we got several in this that are teachers. Come on down. Stand behind them. If you're a teacher, come on down. Thank God for these teachers, that godly teachers. They're trying to do the best job they can, and they got a lot of restrictions that get put on them. But God's going to give them special ways to be able to still be a witness and stay within the rules that they've got on them. They're not as free as they used to be when I went to school and some of you went to school. They can't mention this or that or the other. But God's going to give you wisdom. All right, I want y'all to reach your hands out toward these young people down here. Kids, pastor, and the church are going to pray for you right now. Close your eyes. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all of these young people that are down here from kindergarten all the way through the 12th grade. Father, I thank you that you will be with them, guide them, guard them, protect them, keep them, help them with all of their studies, help them with their athletics, give them knowledge and wisdom beyond what others have. Show these athletes how to use their athletic ability to the best of their ability. And may they give God the glory always. I thank you that you would bless these teachers. Give them wisdom and knowledge and understanding how to be a witness and still stay within the confines of the boundaries that is put upon them. I thank you right now, Holy Spirit, that you'll be with each one of these young people, these teachers, as they embark on a new year at school. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. Give these kids a hand. Thank y'all. Y'all can go back to your seats. Go back to your parents. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I like this Sunday. I like this back to school Sunday. How many of you liked a back to school Sunday? I tell you what, the three steps I gave those young people, you can sort of adjust them and use them in your own life. Choosing your friends, staying connected. Hello. Praise the Lord.